Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, 97.1 FM Talk, DGS. Happy Wednesday. A few minutes past 3 p.m., going to be another of those weird days. Sue is out. In fact, I think she's out the rest of the week. Tony's not here yet. Rachel just walked out, so it's just me. Anyone wants to come down and do the show with me, just come on down. 1220 Olive. I can never do a show by myself.
You're about to.
Yeah, I'm about to. We're about to find out just how bad it would be.
Yeah, have you ever had, I mean, I know you talk about, like, at the beginning of the show, Tom leaving you in the studio, but that was when you were doing, like, your mediation stuff, right? It was all about the law.
Yeah, I probably did 9 months by myself. Something like that. Mm. So, yeah, maybe six. I forget. Isn't it weird? You just forget. And then Glenn Beck. When I would sub for Glenn Beck, which I did maybe 50 times, Max was the producer, Tom and Max, and they couldn't crack the mic. So
you were just by yourself the whole time.
Yep.
Get some guests on.
Talking politics. Yeah, it was rough. I did not enjoy that. It was cool because I was talking to 10 million people and, you know, Glenn and I were buddies and lots of exposure, but. Yeah.
Man, this is crazy. Joe Biden talks to the press so infrequently that right now there's a Fox News alert that says Joe Biden taking reporter questions.
I'll turn it up for a minute.
And if the scientists say a vaccine under the president's watch is safe and effective,
absolutely,
we'll take it?
Do it. Yes. If those three questions I laid out can be answered, yes. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Caitlin, CBS.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Just a quick follow-up on that. You say that you don't trust the president. Does that mean you also don't trust the CDC and the FDA currently?
No. I don't trust some of the people, like the fella who just took a leave of absence from the CDC. He didn't run it, but he was the spokesperson for it. But there are some. When I met with the seven scientists today on the screen here in this room, they told me the people that they had worked with in the CDC and the FDA and all the various agencies. And there's some very, very good people there in the ranks, the everyday folks. That are, not everyday.
I think we got the flavor. We talk about this a lot. We're going to talk about it a lot more because the election's 48, 47 days away. Obviously, Biden has some, he's lost his fastballs, we talk about. But how much of that do you think is just comparing him to Trump, who's so aggressive? And is so staccato. Like, everyone seems a little
slow. Yeah, I mean, it's
slow.
Definitely a totally different personality. So there are times where President Trump is speaking, and especially at his rallies and stuff, and he's slurring a little bit, and it troubles me. But he's not speaking to the press, so you usually don't see it in its entirety. It's something you have to kind of seek out. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Biden doesn't seem all there to me when I'm watching that, but you're right. I could just be comparing it with what I've been used to for the past 4 years.
I mean, I don't think anyone is accusing Mike Pence of having dementia, but if Pence were suddenly the president, we would all break our necks. Going from Trump and the energy of Trump to the energy and pacing of Pence, it would just be. And one of these days we're going to. I'm really fascinated that Trump is either going to leave the White House in January or 4 years from January. And what is everyone going to do? Like, what the hell will the media do? They're going to have to try to create another one. Because whoever it is not going to be like this on either side. And I think they've just become spoiled. And they're going to have to create another one.
It's going to be a dip. I bet you they're afraid of a dip in ratings. Because Trump, for better or worse, has made the news basically a reality show or just a popular entertainment.
From a pure ratings show and revenue, which is better for the Fox News brand? Whether it's Fox News Television, Fox News Radio, 97.1, which is better, a Trump loss or a Trump win? Is it better to have conservatives pissed off?
Yeah.
Not for the country, purely for media.
I think you could play it either way and find a way to win.
Yeah, I think there's something about, I think the best thing for the business is Trump winning, because I think that we've picked up some listeners. I think Fox News has picked up some viewers who, I mean, if there was like a radio station that played nothing but like Bravo, Real Housewives news, I'd be tuning in because it's like SportsCenter or something. And that's your thing that you're into. And maybe they wouldn't listen if it was just dogging on the other side. But if it's amplifying what you already believe, you're going to tune in. I think 97.1 in some ways was nervous whenever Trump won and we had a Republican president, because all we did for 8 years was come down on Obama. And we've kind of changed the way we do things. And I think it's worked in the past 4 years. I think we have listeners now that we didn't have in 2015.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree. My gut is it's better selfishly for conservative outlets if it's President Biden. Because I think anger works. Anger motivates. But Trump just changes everything. Just changes everything. And his presence makes everything more interesting. Interesting can be put in quotes, but it definitely makes you pay much more attention. So, but I think between now and, hell, February, I think this thing couldn't be, I think it could still be going on past the new year. I really, truly do. We were talking about it off the air earlier, and I was thinking that a blowout, either way, whoever lost would go, okay, well, there's no way. It's not even close. I don't think that's going to matter. I think that both sides have set up what a sham, scam, stupid election that the other side is going to manipulate and the other side's going to throw and Russia's going to help this and China's going to do that. I think if Trump loses, he sues, no matter what. And I think if Biden loses and it's close, he sues.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Trump has already called into question all the mail-in voting, sort of setting up an excuse if he loses. And we've already heard Democrats like Hillary Clinton say don't concede under any circumstances. So I think both sides are completely prepared.
And there's some, in the law, we talk about precedent. Precedent is so important, whether it's letting your 7-year-old stay up late for a week. You've set a precedent. It's hard to go back. It's putting people on welfare. You've set a precedent. It's hard to take it away. And the precedent has been changed for so many things during the Trump administration. You almost can't remember the way it used to be. And if I'm right and we have litigation and we don't know who the president is until Christmas or past, why wouldn't you sue every time?
Yep. Yep. It'll be the new normal if it happens.
Yeah.
It'll take unless it's a blowout, like you said. Any close election will be contested.
Man, I can't stop popping into Preview and listening to the TV while he talks to reporters. It's just, Dave, it's like you said, it's just different. It's just so different than President Trump. And he keeps
How
looking,
are the questions?
They're pretty softball. I mean, it's like, what
anybody
would you
calling
do?
Him, anybody calling him a liar?
He keeps looking down at his notes, and it's like, is that normal, or is he reading a script? You know, like, the narratives that we create... It's hard to watch something like this and not have all this stuff in your head, like, kind of qualifying it, like, oh, is he on drugs right now? Like, when those are the allegations being slung around.
Go ahead, pop it on again.
A Republican governor pushed back on you on this. How do you get buy-in when it's become so politicized? Would you sign an executive order?
Talking
well,
about
the question is whether I have the legal authority as president to sign an executive order. We think we do, but I can't guarantee you that yet. Okay?
But if you did, you would.
If I did, I would.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Number five, I have to call on my hometown paper, the News Journal. Meredith?
Sir, in terms of the distribution of the virus, communities of color have been greatly affected. Would they get access to the virus first? How would that work in terms of the distribution of Americans being able to get the virus?
Based on the proposal laid out by the experts I spoke with today, and the National Science Foundation is coordinating with the CDC and other agencies, they indicate that the first group of people that should get the vaccine, if and when it is available, are people at the greatest risk. And that includes everything from nursing homes to people with serious pre-existing conditions that would cause people to be in real trouble. A lot of those people happen to be black and brown. And so it would be based upon the degree of exposure. It would go first, though, I would argue, but I'd have a scientific board lay it out for me. It would go first, as laid out for me today, to first responders, doctors and nurses, the people who we're most needed to have available to deal with our crises, health as well as physical crises in our communities. That would be the first. And it would move to the least. Now, one thing that hasn't happened yet, and I don't want to, and I am... Not a scientist.
I hate to say this, but I think he's reading these answers off of his script.
Well, he's got it. He's got every person who to ask the question to.
And I think he has the questions, and I think his team helped him write. Because, I mean, he keeps referencing. I mean, I hate to be the one to say it, but I'm not going to lie and say I think he's answering these.
I wasn't being funny when I asked if anybody. Because I saw the very first question I thought was interesting, because the very first question was about the virus, and he talked about how Trump messed everything up. And the reporter followed up by saying, so you're telling us not to trust the president, but to trust you. And he said, no, I didn't. And you could tell he was he got annoyed, and he was kind of, no. Like, don't put words in my mouth. And I wasn't kidding. I literally thought the last time I was in my office and a press conference started, the very first question that was asked to President Trump was, why did you lie to the American people? That was the first question. Why did you lie to the American people? So if Biden gets a little annoyed by a reporter saying, so you're saying don't trust the president, but to trust you. And he's like, oh, no, I didn't say that. Imagine if somebody opened it up with, why did you lie? Could you imagine his reaction? But I think Rachel's right. I don't think he's going to get those questions, because I think he knows what the questions are.
I mean, just the
way. At least in this press conference.
And like I said, I could just have it in my head, because that's the narrative, but it matches up.
Well, he's
when
reading,
he's going,
he's
I need to get to
lot.
Number five. Hey, Meredith, come up here. She asks the question, which is very measured. And then he keeps looking down and referencing his paper as he's giving the answer. That's incredibly suspect.
That's the problem when the media is on a team.
Yep.
And it's a problem when Fox News is on the president's team.
Mm-hmm.
And when MSNBC and all the mainstream are on his team, they should not be on a team.
And goodness knows President Trump says many, many things that I find to be very inappropriate. But sometimes I play this game with myself where I go to the politics section of Reddit and I read the headlines about President Trump and I try to guess whether or not they're actually true once you click and once you read what's in the body. And I'm going to say 90% of the time it's tremendous hyperbole.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could technically phrase it that way because there's technically a fact in there that you can make it seem like it was a certain way, but they do rain down on him. So then there's this mistrust of like, okay, you want to hold this person accountable, but you're not doing it straight. Like, you're trying to get around him in ways, like, just address what's actually there.
Yeah, you not only have a thumb on the scale for your politics, but you are committing subterfuge and trying to fool us inside the article.
Yeah, and you think you're doing it for, like, the greater good.
Yeah.
But that's not what a journalist is supposed to do. And you bring us the facts for the greater good, but you don't mislead us.
And just for the record, I don't mind Sean Hannity carrying water for the president or Rachel Maddow carrying water for Biden. You know, it's opinion shows.
Mm-hmm.
But it does bother me when you watch during the day and it's so evident.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have press conferences and you have questions and you have attitudes.
Loaded questions.
Yeah, it doesn't do anyone any good. Yeah, I saw something on Drudge a couple days ago that the headline was basically Trump, wanted Julian Assange executed, but will settle for him just keeping his mouth shut. Wow, that's pretty big news. So I read the article, and it turns out it was just one of Julian Assange's lawyers saying, I think Trump wanted Julian to be executed. That's not news.
It's not the same thing.
It's not even news. The fact that, first of all, a lawyer, who cares what a lawyer says? And a lawyer says, I think, based on nothing.
Yeah.
And then the headline comes out quoting Trump saying, I wanted him executed. That's just. And here's the thing. Journalism is so bad. That would have stood out 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Someone would have been fired. Now it's just. Yeah, who cares? What's it matter?
There's almost nowhere that I go that I just automatically trust the story I'm reading.
No,
you know, no matter what organization it's coming from, Biden's already done. How many questions do you think he took? Five or
well,
six?
Well, we heard five.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
six, seven.
Yeah.
No, it's, I mean, anyone. Come on, it's not even worth talking about. You look at the way, and it's a two-way street. Trump pokes the media. He hates them. They hate him.
Sure.
But you look at the way a Trump news conference goes, then you look at that. Come on.
Yeah. I think Joe Biden has been incredibly wise to be chilling in the basement.
I do, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, strategically.
Now he can't, though. I mean, we have less than 50 days.
Yeah, but
this might be the new move here. Take four or five take a handful of questions after a speech that are
mm-hmm.
pre-written that you know the answers to. You have everything written down, and then you can't get that because that's been one of the shots against him is that he hasn't talked to the media and he's not taking any questions. Well, now you can say, oh, I'm taking questions after every press conference.
What do you think is...
It looks like it's very controlled.
Is more, practically more important. When we get to the debates on, I think, September 29th with Chris Wallace, who will push both of them, do you think that it's a bigger deal if Biden gaffes about policy or if Trump gets in his kitchen and gets him flustered?
I think gets in his kitchen. Because I don't think you win against Trump. If you're going to play his reindeer games, like he's been doing this long enough, you can't. Look at Marco Rubio in 2015, was it? He tried to do what Trump did, and he looked like a fool. And his nice guy image was shattered at that point because he was stooping to a level that he shouldn't have stooped to. I think if Donald Trump is able to fluster Joe Biden to the point where he's like spitting mad, it's not going to be cute. I think even a lot of Democrats will be like, "Yee, what's this?" Because you don't want to watch someone lose control.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how justified it is, whatever he could say, it's just not appealing coming from a potential president.
Agreed. I think from what I'm reading, completely predictable. The president, who doesn't like homework, is not wanting to do much, if any, debate prep, saying, like, I know it. I got it. And I'm not worried about it. Normally, I would say, he's going to regret that. I don't know that it matters. Because I don't think this is so much about policy.
I don't think he's a
I don't think this is like Obama and Romney talking about Russia. This is going to be a pissy
fight.
And
I don't think that if he had it written down, you know, like, okay, when they ask you about China, here's the answer. He's not that guy.
Yeah.
He's going to answer however he's feeling.
It's going to be a bare knuckle fist fight.
Yeah. Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
330 DGS. I think, would guess, that most people listening right now don't feel like the police are the enemy and every cop is a monster and they're hunting black people. And I think most people listening to the show can call balls and strikes, at least on this issue, and say, yeah, this should have never happened to this person. Or, hey, come on, dude, don't pull a knife and dive at the cops. To that point, I watched 10 minutes of a video today. We're not going to post it, but you can find it easily. It was in Tulsa. The suspect's name is David Anthony Ware, W-A-R-E, but I'll just describe it for you just to highlight what cops go through. So these two white cops, pull over this skinny, white, young punk driving a normal car. There's nothing about the car that would make you think, this looks sketchy. Nothing about the kid. He's just a bro, just a backwards hat idiot. But he will not get out of the car. And it's just a traffic violation. That's it. And it goes on literally 10 minutes. And the patience that these cops show is incredible, because it pretty quickly they realize this is going to be trouble, probably just annoying trouble, because the kid doesn't look dangerous, but he will not get out of the car. And for 10 minutes, they're calling him David. David, I don't want to tase you, but I'm going to tase you in 3, 2. Then he'd be like, dude, come on. What, dude? Just give me a ticket. Well, you know how it is. Once the cop said you're under arrest, you're under arrest. So they tase him, and he's still sitting there. Then they walk around, and they're like, David, we're going to pull you out physically. And he fights him. So they pepper spray him twice. And he's still fighting back. And then, like a magic trick, because I watched it really carefully, they pull him out of the car, and he shoots them both. And they think that he had a gun under his seat, and the whole time he's just stalling. And then when they're pulling him out, he just grabs it. And as he stands up, and you can see it. Like, it is, you know, when television says, warning, this is going to be graphic, it's typically not. This one, you see him just bang, 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 shoot both the officers, and then you see through the body cam of the one that died of just going backwards, and his hand reaches out and then falls. And while he was there being detained, he called a friend who has also been charged with aiding and abetting. Hey, come get me, man. These cops, man, they're abridging my rights. And so he shoots them both, runs, gets in this guy's truck, and they take off. But my point being, there is nothing about this stop that I would think make these cops think, okay, mm-hmm, this is going to be trouble. Mm-hmm. 10 minutes later, one's dead. Mm-hmm. This is what these men and women do every day.
Yeah.
And you never hear about it. Like, all the stops where no one gets hurt, but it's bad, and they use their training and their professionalism and their temperaments to de-escalate, never, ever going to be covered. But then you have like this one, look, George Floyd, I'm on board. Shouldn't happen.
Right.
And like, when people make technical arguments, come on. 8 minutes and 40 seconds, come on.
Yeah.
But like the one in Lancaster, the guy knifes a bunch of people, cops come to get him, and he jumps at them with a knife, they shoot him, and now Lancaster's burning.
Yeah.
Stupid. Just dumb.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. Like, there's definitely police, there's definitely actions that police take sometimes that they shouldn't take and they should be held accountable for, but by and large, to a massive degree, if you don't fight back, if you just comply, everybody's going to be okay.
That really seems to be the common denominator. And I understand. I understand. Like this last guy that was shot. You say that, you're like, well, which last guy was it?
Jacob Blake?
No, after that, it was the one where he was in like a rideshare. And
I don't even know this.
Okay, well, there was this black guy in a rideshare, and they asked him for his ID. And he's like, I'm not driving. What the hell are you doing that with me? And it ended up going bad. I don't know.
Okay, I'm not. What I don't want to do is get in an argument, and I don't think we will. But whenever you say something like, the kid didn't look dangerous, but he's resisting the police, and I thought the whole point is like, don't resist. So he resisted and resisted for 10 minutes, and then he's able to reach under the seat and pull out a gun and shoot two police officers. You see the contrast between that and a situation like Jacob Blake, where he was supposedly reaching for a knife and he was shot 7 times before he could grab the knife.
I do.
So I think that's why a lot of people struggle, and in no way will I ever defend rioting or anything like that. But when something like that happens and then you see a video of this, it's like, well, he didn't look dangerous. Why didn't he look dangerous? What makes someone look dangerous? Because after minute 9 of resisting the police, I'm going to assume that you're dangerous.
Yeah.
But it was just
Are you
allowed-
disagreeing with something I said?
No. I'm just trying to bring up a point of like, he was allowed to go on and on and on. And it was like, David, I don't want to do this, David. And then it turns out that dude had a gun.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that at all. And there's no way of knowing what would have happened had it been a black guy. But I feel fairly confident in saying, had it been a black guy, he wouldn't have gotten 10 minutes of calling him David.
That's not what we see.
Yeah. No, my point was just that it just looked like a normal traffic stop. Just, hey, this guy changed lanes when he shouldn't have, and we're going to give you a ticket, and it just escalated from there.
Yeah.
So is there an automatic crime? If you are on a traffic stop and you are not cooperating, is there an automatic charge there?
Let's ask the police out there. If an officer, I know you guys listen all the time, 314-241-9797, or maybe tweet Tony or Rachel. My gut is that it's a continuum and that they'll put up with a certain amount of shenanigans and attitude from you, like the white lady in the van who we saw, remember that? Ended up getting put on the ground and tased. That they'll put up with a certain amount, and I'm sure it's different for every cop, but then when it gets to a certain level, it becomes resisting arrest. And for this kid, I mean, people should watch it because it's really instructive. Like, these cops, they're like MF'ing him and stuff, but only after you can tell they're getting scared. And I would say they gave him a good 2 or 3 minutes of real politeness before it was, okay, you're under arrest, get out of the car. But no, you make a good point, Rach, that Jacob Blake may or may not have been trying to get the knife out of his car, but he didn't get the chance because he got shot 7 times in the back. And this kid got, I'm surprised they gave this kid as much as they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just seems like it should be it should be everyone is treated the exact same in situations like that, because it's and I know it's different departments, probably different. You said this is in Tulsa. It's in a different state. There are different people involved. But you see over and over again different amounts of leeway. Like, well, that guy didn't look scary. So what's scary looking? Define scary looking.
Didn't Rashard Brooks, didn't that go on for like a half hour?
Yeah, and that was crazy.
Which one was that?
The Wendy's
the
shooting.
The Wendy's shooting. So I don't know that they are any, I don't know.
No, but I'm saying, I was addressing more like, I'm not trying to attack Dave. I just thought it was interesting that he said, like, it was so surprising that he pulled out a gun because he didn't look intimidating. But if your actions are that of you're resisting the police, I thought that was the number one argument is like, hey, if you don't resist, nothing bad happens. And yet this kid is resisting for up to 10 minutes and we're still looking at him as a non-threat. That's what's interesting to me. But then people can look at
Jacob
Blake
and go, yeah, but I wonder
Blake
if the police
go,
were looking at him as a non-threat. I don't know.
I mean, it's just something to think about. It's
sure,
something about unconscious biases that we should think about.
Hello, Julie. Go right ahead.
I was just saying that maybe they didn't do anything right away because of what's been going on. All the people that, you know, that are fighting back, they're afraid to do anything. That's why it went on so long.
Yeah, I would have to imagine. I've not had lengthy discussions with the police officers who I know, but I know there's been testing done, like with their training. And that the time from a threat to when they shoot has gotten much, much slower since Michael Brown case, which you can say is good because they're taking more time to think about it. But then when it's a cop who gets shot, you say, well, that's too bad that they took so long to think about it. I don't know. My gut is that people are getting more patience from cops because they don't want to be involved in something like this. I don't know. You know, we only see the ones that go bad. So I'm not sure how that goes. Bunch of phone calls in. Let's take a break. Come back. Take the phone calls. 341-241-9797.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
345 DJS is talking about this shooting in Tulsa where I didn't see his age, but he couldn't have been more than 25. White kid, David Anthony Ware, who is pulled over for a traffic violation, and you see the entire thing, just like it's a movie, just like it's an HD. and these two cops, and they were trying to get him out of the car. He wouldn't get out of the car, and he just keeps deflecting. He just keeps coming up with excuses, and they just keep getting pisseder and pisseder. And they finally tase him, doesn't do anything. They pepper spray him, and as they're tugging him out of the car, he evidently grabbed a gun from underneath the seat, and he shoots them both. One of them dies. And we're just discussing the differences between that one and Jacob Blake and how cops handle these things. Have a couple of police officers calling in. Let's go to James first. James, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So, being in the business for 17 years, I guess my perspective is this. Regardless of the color of the person, the contact is driven based upon the reason for the stop, the reason for the call for service, the history, whatever you may have there. And so you have to understand that people that are in their car, don't, especially criminals that are in the act of doing criminal things, don't want to be separated from their vehicle. And there's usually a reason for that. And so the other thing that officers are faced with these days that have changed is, you know what? We're all wearing body cameras, microphones. People get to go back and review that information in a two-dimensional setting. It will never capture the three-dimensional situation that is unfolding right then and there. And the thought that, well, this person had a knife or this person was going to get a knife and somehow an officer shot him in the back and therefore the officer's actions were grossly negligent. We train off of fact, train off of experience, we train off the use of force continuum. And if a person pulls out a baseball bat or a knife, we don't have to tase them. Because if the taser doesn't work, and many times it doesn't, it could result in an officer being stabbed and killed. It could also result in a child being taken as a hostage, stabbed and killed. The person then stabbing themselves or trying to commit suicide. So there are a lot of variables that I don't think the common layman person, so to speak, understands. Use of force continuum is two times or two levels above what the person that's resisting is using against the officers. As soon as the person complies, then you de-escalate. So unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that are trying to challenge these findings and the way that law enforcement does things. And so now you have officers that are afraid to use their training the way that they've trained for many, many years daily. You know, now they're second guessing, should I do this? Should I do that? That guy should have been taken out of that car. Unfortunately, those officers didn't apply enough direct application at the time for whatever reason. And unfortunately, we don't know. I don't have enough information to understand why they were getting him out of the car. I mean, it was a minor traffic stop. Did he have warrants? I mean, there's a lot of things that we don't know about many of these situations. Unfortunately, what the media likes to do and what the social justice people like to do is they like to cast a decision on the validity of the officer's actions, and they have very little, if any, experience. They don't understand the law. They don't understand policy and procedure. They take a certain segment of an incident and they run with it. And there are a lot of things that govern what the rank and file police officers do on a daily basis. And I'm sorry, my application or my contact and conduct with a person has zero to do with the skin color. It has to do with the reason for my contact. You know, whether the person's complying or not complying. There are many, many, many videos out there of officers that have been killed because a person failed to comply. There are many videos out there where officers were engaged in an incident with somebody and they failed to react quick enough in the suspect, and whatever the situation, takes a hostage and kills them. And guess what? The police are the ones that are wrong there, too, because they didn't act appropriately. They didn't act fast enough. They didn't train the right way. I don't know what the answer is. I think training is something that's needed, but I also think that it's it's bigger than that, you know.
So James, the question came up, and I'm sure this is highly dependent on the situation. But if you can generalize it all as a police officer, when does it go from someone is just pissed off and giving you attitude to, okay, we need you to get out of the car, you're under arrest for something?
Well, so I think the person's attitude can be a reflection of a lot of things. Their social norms, their social bias, they're in a bad mood. At the point that I have an articulable reason to make the detention an arrest, custody plus interrogation, I'm arresting you, at that point, you're under arrest, and from that point forward, if you choose to resist the actions of my lawful arrest and you're hurt, injured, or killed, really is the result of your refusal to comply. Now, I hear people say this, and this is what drives me nuts. Well, the officer didn't have legal regard to make the arrest. Well, you know what? Let's say that officer didn't. Let's say that officer was negligent in his duties. He didn't have the right to make the arrest. But you know what you do? You go and you file a complaint. And whether you file a complaint at the local level, at the state level, or you go file a civil rights violation, that's how you hold people accountable for unlawful arrest, unlawful detention, unlawful assembly, when the officer's actions were egregious. What you don't do is get to decide, I'm going to fight with the officer because I don't believe he has the right to arrest me. If the officer tells you you're under arrest and you choose to resist, there's a big problem there. Anymore, people believe, well, I don't have to comply, mm-hmm. you know. And so, you know, here are the things. I've seen bad contacts where law enforcement has been wrong. They're misapplying the law. Their actions are egregious. And I've seen people arrested wrongfully, you know. And in those situations, those people have every right to file complaints with the police department, complaints with POST, which is the professional officers of standards in the state of Missouri that holds all police officers licensed. This. There are a lot of actions that people that are truly being profiled or their rights are being violated. There are avenues to appropriately address those issues. Fighting with the police because you've been told you are under arrest for any reason is a bad decision. I don't know what your intentions are. I don't know what your actions are. I don't know what your reasons are. Your attitude means nothing to me. I don't care if you get an attitude with me. You don't know me. You may not like me because of the badge I wear. That's fine. You don't know me as an individual. And so I choose not to take much inference in their kind of what their mm-hmm. attitude is. A lot of times I'll ask them, is everything all right? If they don't want to engage me in conversation, then I just assume it's either A, the contact has got them stressed out, or B, maybe they don't like the police, which is okay. Not everybody's going to like a person or a profession. I think the biggest thing is this, and the common denominator that I see, regardless of the contact, regardless of the reason, if these people, if not for their own actions, they're here, they're alive. Maybe they went to jail. Maybe they were inconvenienced. They have a platform and avenues to address those issues if it's deemed that they're unlawfully arrested or they were unlawfully detained. But at the point that they choose to decide right then and there that they're not going to this, that, or the other thing, and they choose to resist, bad things happen. Yeah. Bad things happen to individuals that are innocent just as well as individuals that are guilty.
Yeah, really good information, James. Thank you so much for calling in. Thanks for your service. Quick break, right back, DGS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.